Good morning, church. Good morning and welcome to the Vines. And to those online as well, welcome to our service. I hope you find it a time where you can meet with God. Our Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ, his Son, the divine Holy Spirit, together they make the Ancient of Days, steadfast and constant. Always has been, always will be. Righteous, vigilant, and reliable. Full of grace, mercy, and justice. Never changing, our Ancient of Days. Let's stand and let's declare our faithfulness to this Ancient of Days. Let's stand. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. Let us continue.
Heaven shall declare the glory of his name. All creation bow. Every
shall see.
Father, Ancient of Days, we look forward to that day where everyone will know who you are, where every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Lord, we feel so privileged to know you now, to know that you are part of our lives, that you care, that your greatest desire is to know me. Know us, each one of us, individually. Lord, we're also aware that we're really not worthy. That at times we let you down. We are not our best selves. We get caught up in the world around us. The things of this world that seem important, but are not. Lord, we ask for your ongoing forgiveness for those times where we speak before thinking, where we act before thinking, where we ignore opportunities to share your grace and your love, where we fall back into those habits we know are not really good for us. We confess we're not perfect, but we also confess your forgiveness, given to each of us who acknowledge your love and your grace and your power. And we thank you. And Lord, we ask that you continue to mould us, to make us more like Jesus, to purify us and call us to the work you have for each of us. May we be worthy, we pray. In Jesus' name.
Silver, purify my heart.
kids, come on down. Oh, kid, singular. Hi. Who washes the dishes at your house? Or is there a machine that washes? There's a dishwasher, is there? So who loads the dishwasher and who empties the dishwasher? The whole family does. Everybody does. Right. I had a big brother, who we'll say more about in a minute, who got a dishwasher because he didn't like doing the dishes. But he was the only one who could load the dishwasher properly or could unload it properly. So he ended up still doing the dishes. Which is an interesting thing, because when we were much younger, when I was 11 and he was about 13, we went to Scouts. Yep, and we went to Scouts. And when we went to Scouts, the rule was, it was on a Friday night, unless the dishes were done first, we couldn't go to Scouts. That was the rule. And so Big Brother, Bill, his name was, he would say, right, who's doing the dishes? Right, Ian, you're washing? Ewan, you're wiping? Right, I'll put away. And then he'd nick off for 15 minutes while we did all the dishes for the other, you know, the sixth in the family at that stage. And then he'd come back, spend 30 seconds putting them in the cupboard and think he'd done a wonderful thing. And my sister and I, who'd actually washed the dishes and wiped the dishes, we thought it was most unfair because it wasn't an equal distribution of work. Right? Yeah. We'd spent 15 minutes, I'd spent 15 minutes washing, my sister had spent 15 minutes wiping, and he'd spent half a minute putting them away. Not fair. Well, actually, sometimes it works out that that's how life is. It's not fair sometimes, isn't it? And I guess, look, just think, if there was no food that somebody had prepared to put on the plates that we'd had to wash, we wouldn't have to do any dishes, would we? But we'd be very hungry. Yeah. So, the important thing is that I didn't do the cooking. My mum, at that stage, did most of the cooking because she was good at it, sort of. She cooked adequate, good food, but it wasn't fancy. That's right, isn't it, Karen? Yeah, you can say that about your mother-in-law. Now, so she cooked, and I didn't, because if I had to cook the food, there'd have been a lot of complaints, because I couldn't have done it well. My mum could cook the food well, because she was good at it. I could do the dishes well, even though I didn't like it. But we got the dishes done, and we could go off to Scouts. And Big Brother still had to load the dishwasher when he got older and had his own dishwasher. And what I was going to say was that sometimes it doesn't really matter if we do different things and it takes different amounts of time to do them. Is it really unfair? I guess, you know, sometimes it's not strictly fair in terms of the time it takes to do stuff. But if it's done well, regardless, that's the good thing. And I guess that's really something that I'm going to say a bit more about later this morning, because it's about whether we've got a gift or the ability that God has given to us to do things well. So, you would be really good at hiding in a small space. But I couldn't, because I can't bend like you can bend. Yeah. And there's a lot of other older people around here who are not like you, including me. I can't bend either. And so, you know, we're not good at doing some things, we are good at doing others. So whatever you're good at, it's important to keep doing it. And if you're not good at it, Well, you can perhaps learn how to become good at it. Like, eventually, when you were about that high, I bet you didn't wash the dishes, did you? No. As we get bigger, we learn things, we grow, we develop, we become better at things. And that's because God equips us with what we need to do as we grow and develop. And that's a really helpful thing. I don't know whether you're going to have a dishwasher always or whether you're going to have to sometimes do the dishes by hand, but I'm sure you'll learn how to do it if you need to. And that's because God is good. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you that we have been given the gifts that we have and that we can use them and that we can develop them because you are a God who gives us all good things. Amen. The notices. I'm not going to ask who's feeling wide awake today. Some of you that are not here, perhaps you're watching it later because you've been running on City Bay this morning. Anybody know somebody who has? Yeah, one or two, dude. I've done that in the past once or twice, but not very often. Because it tends to happen on Sunday morning. It's the wrong time of the week for somebody like me. But yesterday there were a lot of people who were here and were using what they were good at, and it enabled them to contribute to the market success from yesterday. So there's a note here I want to read. Thank you to all who contributed to the market in any way yesterday, whether you did stuff or supplied stuff or whatever. We were blessed by the weather, which made for a happy environment, and there were a number of significant connections made with some people. To this point, the result is almost $4,000, which is awesome. We've even got the accolade from Reese. Yep. Please, if you donated plants which were not sold, could you please take them when you go this morning? And you'll notice that there's more stuff that you would have seen on the way in. And if you want to purchase something extra for lunch or for this week to come, then, or whatever, please feel free to do that after the service this morning. The other notices that are in the news sheet. Operation Christmas Child, remember that the boxes are to be returned by next Sunday, please. There will be some notes in their notice sheet about the leadership meeting that met a couple of weeks ago. You can see about that. There's interesting things that are happening. And you'll also see in there that there's some prayer points. And I would encourage you to read those prayer points and to take a few appropriate amounts of time. I won't say whether it's at moments or minutes or hours, whatever God allows you to do, that you might pray for some of those prayer points. Otherwise, there's some regular things that happen every week or every month. But that's, I think, all I've got this morning. So, I'm not going to say greet one another or anything like that this morning. But do that afterwards while you're mingling, because I know there's a few special things that were left over from yesterday that you might be able to eat after the service as well, while you're having coffee. It's time for the prayers. Thanks, Sue.
Good morning, everyone. Let us pray for the preservation of the earth. Lord God, we give thanks for the beauty and abundance of the earth. Give us and all peoples grace to live in harmony with your creation, and wisdom and generosity in our use of the bounty. Daily we are saddened by news of the destruction of your great gifts by fire, flood, earthquake, war, and environmental vandals. We pray for your grace and mercy for us and all peoples, and the will to strive for the preservation of our earth. Let us pray for peace and shared prosperity, dear Father. We give thanks for the guidance of leaders who serve the common good. Give wisdom to those who have responsibility and authority in every land, that we may share with justice the resources of the world and work together in trust. We pray for an end to war by leaders who do not try to save their people in the pursuit of power and other nations' territory. We also pray for the thousands of refugees displaced by war, natural disaster, or seeking a safer, more fruitful life. Let us now pray for our nation. Dear God, we give you thanks and praise for this wonderful land and the diversity of its peoples. Grant that we may so honour one another that all may be enriched by our common heritage and freed from despair, poverty, and exclusion. Let us pray for the church and its mission in your name, Lord God, and in the name of your blessed Son, Jesus Christ. We give thanks for the good news of salvation for all people through his death and resurrection. Strengthen us for our work in the world. Empower your church to proclaim the gospel in service, word, and sacrament. Unite us in the truth with all who confess your name, that we may live together in love to your glory. We lift up ourselves and our community to you, dear Father. We give thanks for the fellowship within the Vines Church and that of the communities in which we live and work. We give you praise and thanks for the outreach to our wider community in the successful spring market here yesterday, and for blessing us all with glorious weather. We also give thanks that you are the God who brings mercy and wholeness. We lift up our minister, David Pryor, and his wife, Ellie, and their family. Please continue to comfort and heal them and others we know who are in sorrow, need, sickness, or any other trouble. Now we pause briefly for you to offer your own prayer in silence for people whom you know are in need. Give to those who care for them wisdom, patience, and gentleness, and to us all your peace. Eternal God and Father, you have promised to hear those who pray in the name of your precious Son. Grant that what we have asked in faith we may obtain, according to your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's all join together in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, power and glory, now and forever. Amen.
Through this next hymn, the offering will be brought at the end, and I'll ask you to stand at the appropriate time. But this hymn has six verses, and in a way, you know, it becomes a bit repetitive in tune. But I looked at it and I thought, you know, there's just nothing I'm prepared to remove. Take my life. Take my life, my hands, my voice, my silver and my gold, my will, my love. It's all relevant. So I invite you while we sing this, and stay seated to start off with, to actually listen to those words. And as you sing those words, think about how we do offer all those aspects of our life and whether we do and re-offer them. So let's offer ourselves to God. You have heard our prayer. We offer ourselves and all that you have made us, all that we own, all the desires of our heart and the hopes for the future. Lord, all this we offer you because we know you are the God that can be relied upon. Take these things, we pray, that which we offer this morning in monetary and goods, as well as our lives, that your kingdom may be extended and enriched. Your will be done. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning, all. The reading this morning is another reading from Acts. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. Now, during those days when the disciples were increasing in number, the Hellenists complained against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. And the 12 called together the whole community of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should neglect the word of God in order to wait on tables. Therefore, brothers and sisters, select from among yourselves 7 men of good standing, full of spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint to this task, while we, for our part, will devote ourselves to prayer and to serving the word. What they said pleased the whole community, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, together with Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timor, Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. They had these men stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. The word of God continued to spread, and the number of disciples increased greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. This is the word of the Lord.
I'm resisting the temptation to say some things that aren't in the script. However, I could, but I won't. Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Do you remember what it was like being at the bottom of the pecking order when you first started work? No? Did you get sent off to get a left-handed screwdriver? Or for a long wait? As distinct from a short one? Yeah. I imagine that for some of us when we were very young and innocent, that there were a number of occasions where life didn't seem very fair in those early days of work. And we know too that some tasks are not our first choice because they're not glamorous or prestigious. Now, who wants to be a nurse whose first job is to go and clean out the bedpans? You know, it's got to be done, but it's not really glamorous nor prestigious. And it's the difference between being a surgeon in a hospital and a cleaner in a hospital. No, it's not a high ranking and high prestige job being a cleaner, but without them, hospitals would become overcome with dust and disease and dirt, and the outcomes for the patients would not be good at all, no matter how skillful the surgeons were. And the reality is that sometimes you're the rooster and sometimes you're the feather duster. And it was a bit like that in the early days of the Christian church. As the church grew in number, the Greeks, the Hellenists, complained about the Jews, the Hebrews, because the Greek widows were missing out. They weren't getting what they thought was their fair share of the food. And some people are just grumpy, like I was when I didn't get one second of on court in the basketball grand final that we lost miserably way back in 1976. I don't hold a grudge. And the coaches died a few years ago, so I can't even tell him off any longer. We're especially grumpy when we think that something is grossly unfair. Like we have to do the dishes and it takes us ages, whereas a big brother, he gets away with not spending any time at all. The thing is that in this passage, as we learn from Acts chapter 6, this time something was done about it. The concerns were heard. Action was taken. The 12 apostles called a big congregational meeting to thrash out a solution. And they said, why isn't it working? Did I turn it off? No? Oh, that's better. No, it's not. Ken? Yeah, it is not right that we should neglect the word of God in order to wait at tables. That's what the apostle said. It's not right that we should neglect the word of God in order to wait at tables. Now, you might think that the apostles were being a bit high and mighty, you know, having a somewhat inflated sense of their own importance, kind of like older siblings. But you know, what they did, they selected for the task, and the next slide says, they selected seven men of good standing, full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom. And that's not a bad set of criteria for servant leadership, is it? Be of good standing, full of the Spirit and wise. And if only we could guarantee that all of our politicians and church leaders would be like that. Meanwhile, what are the apostles doing? No, it's not working, Ken. They said, we will devote ourselves to prayer and to serving the word. And the apostles weren't being lazy or stuck up. They were praying and preaching. And their ministry was just different from that of the seven deacons. It was a ministry of high calling. It was devoted to just those two things, prayer and the ministry of the word. And you can kind of see that there's two sort of parallel streams of leadership in action here. There's the ministry of the apostles and that of the deacons. The difficulty we face in understanding this is that different doesn't mean wrong. It's just different. It's not of higher or lower status. It's just different as each person uses the particular spiritual gift or gifts that God has given to them. And if we think about it, the leadership criteria for the seven chosen as deacons is the same leadership criteria for apostles or preachers or prayers. It's to be of good standing or good character. It's to be full of the Spirit. That means being in touch with God. And being wise or able to exercise sober judgment as they gave leadership to the fledgling Christian churches. Now, whether the leaders are deacons serving at tables or distributing food to the needy widows, or the leaders were apostles serving the word, that is, preaching and praying, all of those people needed to demonstrate good leadership skills. So do you see the similarities in character and faith and wisdom that is required from all of them? You see, there are also different skills or gifts, next one please, Ken, for different people. The different skills being a deacon as compared to an apostle whose responsibility was for prayer and proclaiming the good news of the risen crucified Jesus. And it's the same today. Some of you are quite happy and more comfortable, very comfortable, serving on the welcome team or cleaning the building or helping in the kitchen or serving on the property team. But while you're happy to do that, you'd die with your leg in the air if you were asked to stand up here and be the preacher for the day. That's just a different gift, a different calling. And it should be no different in status. I always remember when Sir Ronald Wilson, the former High Court judge who was serving as president of the Assembly of the Uniting Church at the time, he went out into the kitchen at the Cleve Church to help with the dishes. They didn't have a dishwasher. Somebody had to wash, somebody had to wipe. As I recall, he got a tea towel and he was wiping the dishes. It was an example of great humility. You know, a former High Court judge, the head of the national body of the Uniting Church at the time, but he was exercising great leadership in that role. You see, the early church needed both deacons and apostles. The work of leadership was too much for the apostles to manage on their own. And that's a lesson for us today, that we are to use our gifts, the ones that God has given to us, to the best of our ability, but to not try to do someone else's job or attempt a role that requires us to use gifts that we have not been given. I remember hearing, again, this is a long time ago, one of my ministry colleagues at the time who was talking about the myth of the omnicompetent minister. The myth of the omnicompetent minister. In other words, even ministers aren't good at everything, in case you hadn't worked that out yet. Now, some will be great preachers, some will be great pastors, some will be great teachers, some are great administrators, some are great leaders of teams. But in case you haven't noticed before, we aren't great at everything. And it's not a problem, it's reality. The important thing is for everyone to use their God-given gifts and to serve in whatever way God has equipped us. Now, I wonder what you've heard me say so far. If it's that there are different gifts for different people, different strokes for different folks, good. If you've heard that there is no hierarchy, of status in churches, and there are no roles that are more important than others or less important than others, good. But there are a couple of common problems found in most congregations. The first is that some people are reluctant to step up and use the gifts that God has given them. That's the first problem. And the second one is that some people are reluctant to let go of the reins and allow someone else to develop and use their God-given gifts. That's normally not as common a problem as the first one, but it can be a problem. The first problem is sometimes caused by people being confused. You know, are we, as people in the congregation, customers or staff? If we think we're customers, then we'll sit back while someone else does the work. We'll wait to be entertained, and we'll take our service our custom elsewhere if we don't get what we think we want. That's if we think of ourselves as customers. But the truth is that the church exists for the benefit of its non-members, not for its members. The church exists for the benefit of its non-members. In other words, as people in the congregation, we're actually staff, and our role is to serve others so that those who are not yet aware of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ can hear about it, and we can serve them and help them to become on board and also become staff as they discover what faith is really all about. So the first problem is actually easily fixed simply by people stepping up and serving. The second problem of people hanging on to roles longer than necessary, that sometimes happens because people have a Messiah complex. They think that no one else can do it or will do it or can do it as well as they could. And so they have to save the church from falling into a hole. Alternatively, some people misunderstand or confuse importance and status and function. And so some people want what they see as a position of honour, a president of this or chairperson of that committee, whatever. That's fine if their God-given gift suits them to that role. But what if it doesn't? And then we end up with kind of chaos and disruption and disorganisation and disaster and embarrassment and frustration for all concerned. And it's never easy to fix that sort of stuff. We need lots of wisdom and much love and abundant grace and patient humility and gentle, forgiving hearts. And when is it time to hand on the baton to a new leader? How do we avoid outstaying our welcome in the position? Now, in our humanity, we like to be appreciated and honoured. Who doesn't? We may like to be the boss, but in the Christian church, it's important to take a lesson from Jesus. Remember what he did at the Last Supper? He took off his outer clothes, he got a basin and a towel, and he knelt at the feet of his disciples to wash their feet. And Peter initially objected, typical Peter, but Jesus told him that unless he accepted Jesus serving him in that way, he would have no place with Jesus. Read John chapter 11. Now, the symbol of the ministry of deacon these days is the basin and towel. It's a serving role with a servant heart. And what is clear is that a servant heart lies at the foot of all great leaders. Great leaders act in such a way that they humble themselves. Again, that's Jesus who took the way of the cross for us. Read Philippians chapter 2. There's a great saying that God can do great things if you don't care who gets the credit. God can do great things if you don't care who gets the credit. So if you've been chosen to serve, be humble. Remember, it's not about us. It's about Jesus. And sharing his message of hope and love and forgiveness and grace with the world, with our neighbours, with the people in our family. That's what it's really all about. We're to use the gifts that God has given us to the utmost of our ability so that Jesus is proclaimed loudly and clearly. And if necessary, use words. And when it's time to step aside, do so. Don't hold on to a position just because you like the accolades and kudos that come, or that you think goes with the position. And if you can, identify someone to be your successor. Mentor them. Help them to become familiar with the role. Guide them as they develop into that giftedness. And then graciously step aside. Which is what I'm going to do after next Sunday. Now, this is what the leaders of the early church did. They equipped the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, as it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. They weren't building themselves up. They were building up the church, the body of Christ. So I want to thank all of you who serve in various positions and committees and councils and groups within this church for your service and on other groups and bodies and things. Thank you again to all those who helped at the market yesterday. Together, we are helping not just to raise money, but to make a difference in the lives of many people. And through the generosity of our time and our energy and our skills and our gifts, people are helped and people are cared for. And things run more smoothly. So we have, you know, well-appointed spaces for ministry, like this one. But never forget, never forget why we're serving in this way. It's to share the good news of Jesus to those who don't yet know him, as well as to care for those who do. May you, in whatever way you serve, be of good standing be full of the Spirit and wise as deacons chosen to serve. And may that be your character too. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the privilege of serving in the name of Christ. We thank you that you have called us and equipped us with various gifts. So help us to be full of the Spirit, wise and of good standing. And may we use our gifts, our God-given spiritual gifts, with gentle grace, humility and a servant's heart, so that this body of Christ is built up and all the saints are equipped for ministry. And the people of God said, Amen.
Thank you, Ian. Let's stand and let's conclude by rededicating ourselves to the work of the kingdom as each of us is called to do. Let's stand.
Apart. I know you're true.
give our lives to the potter's hand, that God will guide us, lead us, equip us, and enable us to respond to the call to serve.
Using the gifts God has given us to the best of our ability. And may you do that as you share in fellowship after the service in a few seconds and in this coming week in whatever it is that you're doing. And may your bodies be strengthened for that service in his name. Especially those who are a bit tired after yesterday. May the blessing of God, Father, Son and Spirit, be upon you and remain with you always.